You know, it helps if you unmute your mic. And so I apologize for that. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I even have unmute here in big bold letters. So thank you. Welcome to Christ Community Church, to our online worship this morning. My name is Mike. I am the pastor here at Christ Community. I'm obviously not a tech whiz, but we're getting there these days, huh? If you are a part of Christ Community Church, if you call this your home, especially a warm welcome, and it is my joyous delight to be with you this morning. And if you don't have a church home of your own, I'm really glad that you're here, and I want you to know that all of you to know that you don't we're not coming together by coincidence or by happenstance or anything else. God has brought us here by His Spirit through the Son Jesus, and for that we're so grateful. If you have anyone in your life that you think might want to join us for worship this morning, but you know that they don't have a Facebook account, you're welcome to join us at cccfortwayne.org. The video should be embedded there as well. Hear these words from the book of Revelation. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom, priests to God, His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hear these words from the book of Isaiah. Hear these words from the book of Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared His holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. My friends, in this past week, as we join together to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have received this good news. We have received it in full, and it will come to completion on the day that we are with the Lord, raised to new life ourselves. The good news is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's answer to everything. That it is God's plan to reign in victory over everything. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we hear these words of Isaiah. We hear them, and we can just explode with great joy because He has done this. This is from Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes. You are honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord that is... that gets its exclamation point in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we've come together today to praise this God, our Savior. You know, this week, as a body, we have experienced great loss in a number of ways. But I want you to know that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, nothing falls away as though it has no meaning. Nothing. God fills up every moment of our existence, even the difficult and the sorrowful times, fills it up with meaning. As he says in 1 Corinthians 15, your labor is not in vain. And remember, we talked about that last week, because he said that right on the bedrock of the resurrection. Your labor is not in vain. And so we can say with the greatest hope, with the prophet Zephaniah, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in. At that time, when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. God is doing a work of gathering in. And what we're going to look at in Matthew today, we're going to start to step our foot into that over the next couple weeks. God is gathering his people. And he will complete that work. So now in whatever you're going through, and whatever's going on in your life, see the gift of the moment. I've been saying that now for weeks. I'm just going to keep saying it. See the gift of this very moment in your life. Double down on Jesus and put him clearly in your focus. See, it is in Jesus, and because of his resurrection, that Paul says in Romans 8, verses 10 and 11, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That is a promise that holds us together in every moment, both good and bad. And for that, we are incredibly thankful. And because of that reality, we can come into the Lord's presence and we can pray. And what is prayer? Prayer means so many things. Prayer, but it means that you are not alone. You are not alone. Later in that chapter of Romans, Paul says, the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Even when you pray, you are not alone. God himself comes alongside of you and helps you and prays with you according to the will of God. All of this is a reality because Jesus lives and he reigns forever and ever. And for that reason, we can come together and we can pray. And now we're just gonna go into a time where we can pray together. Facebook Live allows you to comment in real time. So if you have a prayer request that you'd like to share, I invite you to share it. Please remember that it is public here. So if this is going to be something personal, then maybe hold off. But I'll try to monitor those prayer requests as they come in. Of course, we want to continue to pray for all of those in our community. In this world, that this virus that our world is battling right now would stop spreading, and that those who are sick, and not just from COVID-19, but sickness doesn't stop because we're in a health crisis. So pray for all those who are sick, that they would get the attention that they need, and that God would pour out his healing hand over all the earth. Continue to pray for those who are serving others in the medical field right now. And we know that there are many who are suffering from worry and anxiety and financial stress. They're pushed to the margins already before this and now pushed so much farther. We can pray to a God who is generous and wise. And we know loves us. We thank you. I thank you for being here with us. Pray for wisdom for us. Pray for wisdom for me. Pray for wisdom for our community leaders and our state leaders and our world leaders. Let's pray for wisdom. As we start our prayer this morning, I'm going to start by reading some of Psalm 36. And then when we finish, we're going to end with the Lord's Prayer, and I'll just lead us into that. And so wherever you're at, I just want to invite you to pray with us. Let's go to the Lord. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Oh God, thank you for these words this morning and for your steadfast love, for your generosity, for your peace. And Lord, thank you for the fact that we get to come into your glorious presence and we get to pour out our hearts to you. Our hearts are open, God. They're laid bare before you. And it is only, as the psalm says, it's only in your light that we see light. We can only see because we are in your presence. We can only hear because we are in your presence. And for that reason, we glorify you. God, open up our eyes and open up our hearts to glorify you in this moment, to declare your glorious, wonderful mercies in this moment. Lord, there is none like you in all of heaven or earth. We thank you. We thank you. And we come before you, and in your light, we also see that there are things that are terribly wrong in our lives. And there is sin, even for the believer, that is indwelling in us, Lord, and needs to be cleansed. Lord, we throw ourselves on your mercy. And we trust you when you say that the blood of Christ washes us perfectly clean. We trust you in that. Lord, you say that you take our sins and you separate them from us as high as the heavens are above the earth and as far as the east is from the west. Lord God, we thank you. There is none like you. And Lord, we come before you with heavy hearts as well, with sorrows that you see and you know better than any of us. We pray for peace and comfort. Lord, I pray for Marilyn's friend, her friend in Texas, who's going to be starting 20 days of serving in a COVID unit. Lord, we ask that you would protect not just her friend, but all of those involved, and that you would pour out wisdom for treatment, and you would pour out your delight even in suffering and in difficult time. Lord, we pray for our friend Dick, our brother, who's still experiencing such difficult back pain. Lord, we pray that you would pour out your healing touch on his life and on his back. Lord, we pray for Chris. We pray for the situation that he is in. We pray that you would walk with him. Today, Lord, as we step into your word, we're going to hear about how you have promised to be with us. Lord, flood his whole life with the knowledge and the trust and the faith that you are with him today and tomorrow and every day, the whole of every day. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the mercy that you showed our sister Arlene and how you brought her home. We thank you for your grace. We pray along not just with her blood relatives, Lord, not just her family that worships with us, but Lord, you have made us all one. And we praise you. And we glorify your name for your amazing grace. Lord, we pray for Liz, who is now in quarantine for 14 days. We pray that you would protect her, who also needs to take care of Chris, who is suffering from cancer. Lord, in your wisdom and in your power, take care of every need. Provide at every turn. Lord, we trust all these words that we read this morning. We trust that you are gathering your people to Jesus. You're gathering them to yourself, that you love your people. We trust you, and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to Matthew chapter 28. We are in the last couple of paragraphs of the Gospel of Matthew. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually take 2 weeks in these last 10 verses, and we're going to look at all 10 verses both weeks. As you're turning there, I want to remind you, as I would every Sunday that we would gather here together, that that you would, I want to remind you that this is the Word of God, and that if you don't have a physical copy of the Bible, that you would get in touch with me, because I have plenty, and I want you to have this. This is the Word of Life. When I begin reading, I am going to say, hear the word of the Lord. And what I'm doing is I'm calling you to an action and calling you to receive the word of God with trust and with faith, knowing that he indeed has spoken. And when I end, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And at that point, I'm calling you to celebrate with me that God has spoken. And he has. I invite you to, at that moment, to praise him by responding wherever you're at. Thanks be to God. I'm going to be starting in verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, as we come before your word, as we come and we are worshiping in your presence, we thank you. And we ask that you would open our eyes and you would open our ears to everything that your Spirit has for us today. Lord, I see that I missed a prayer request as I was praying. So right now I want to ask you that you would be with Madison and Ben and their families. That you would deal with the situation that they have going on. That you would strengthen them and encourage them. Lord, you know what's going on. And you know that by your word and your spirit, you can change lives and you can change these situations. So we pray that your grace would pour out on them. And Lord, let your grace and your wisdom and your authority and your power pour out on us now as we consider your word and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Next week, we're going to be talking a little bit more thoroughly about the mission of God and how that God, your grace is with us even when we are scattered in thought, and I ask that right now that you would not let me be a distraction to your people. Speak, God. Lord Jesus, I praise you and I thank you. Amen. As we start this reading, we realize that there's a whole lot of things covered, but in this last little section of Matthew, he introduces doubt back into the picture. Like, we've just experienced, we've just talked about the resurrection of Jesus, but now he's going to talk about doubt. That's a little weird, don't you think? See, last week I challenged you to consider that if the resurrection happened, that if it did, you can't go on pretending that your life will ever be the same. So we can't run away from looking at challenges to the resurrection that come from the outside. Those questions like, how can you really believe that? So today we're gonna first look at this first section where the first argument against the resurrection came about, actually on the day of the resurrection. But that's not the only place that the issue of doubt comes up in what we read. Sometimes doubts come from challenges arising in our own spirits. It's that question, do you really believe that? Do you really believe it? So this is for you, okay? This is for you this morning, no matter where those doubts and those hesitations and those places where you feel like you might be faltering, where those things are coming up, this is for you. Look, faith only holds up in the presence of Jesus. That's what we see here. As the disciples come into Jesus' presence, that's what we're going to see. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, the author says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is not wishful thinking or the belief or even belief in the absence of evidence. That's not what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You see, as we read the resurrection story, no one in this story disputes that the tomb was empty, do they? But there is a way for everyone to spin the evidence to fit what they want. What we see is the chief priests want to spin it as though it were an elaborate hoax. Remember, the religious leaders, they had also followed Jesus around and they had witnessed his great signs and his healings that Jesus did throughout his ministry. But when they saw him, they saw them as evidence of demonic power. So on the face of it, as we just look at this from our day and age, we have kind of a he said, she said situation, don't we? We have the stories of these women who experienced the resurrected Jesus just before this. And then the disciples who Jesus appeared to over and over again. We have their word against some of the soldiers and the religious leaders. What do we do with that? Well, what we're dealing with is those external arguments against the resurrection here. So let's consider what we know. Apart from the testimony of the women and the disciples, what do we know? We know that the religious leaders went to Pilate on the Sabbath to ask for permission to secure the tomb. They were worried about this happening. Pilate told them, hey, you've got guards. You go and make that tomb secure. And so they did. On that day and on that night, Jesus' tomb had this large stone at the entrance. The stone was sealed, and there were guards guarding it. We don't know how many guards there were. We can safely assume there were a fair amount. I mean, after all, they were concerned enough about this to even go to Pilate. And when they got up to go back into Jerusalem, only some of them went to the religious leaders. We can surmise that there was more than just a few. And we also know that there's no mention anywhere in any historical record that the disciples came and fought the guards or attacked the guards in order to take the body of Jesus. Nothing like that exists. No, this is the story that they spun. All of the guards fell asleep. All of them. For a guard in Rome, in a Roman-occupied city, to fall asleep, it was a very, very serious offense. It would have been a serious offense for any military or any place in the history of man. But especially the Romans took it seriously. This is why in verse 14 it talks about what they would do if the governor hears about this. Because those guards would be in danger at that point. If they were Roman, they probably weren't Roman, but if they were Roman, they would be executed for this, for falling asleep on duty. But even if they weren't Roman, there are serious, serious repercussions for them. So, the story goes, all of the guards fell asleep. And the only reason that they were even there that night was to guard that tomb. Then as the story goes, Jesus' disciples came in the dark. They moved this large stone that was sealed with guards sleeping around it. They did it without a sound, without waking up any of the guards. Not a grunt, not a sound of the stone being moved, nothing. Only at that point could they have taken the body and gotten away again without making enough of a sound to wake up any of the guards. And then in the follow-up, it's a few weeks after this, Jesus' disciples were in the temple proclaiming the resurrection. They were arrested for proclaiming the resurrection, but never for grave robbing. If there was any evidence of this at all, they were never charged with that. So when you hear this story with that evidence kind of thrown in there, does it sound plausible to you? See, when it comes to those sorts of doubts that come from the outside, we have reason, we have real historical reason to doubt those doubts. We can actually take those doubts and we can weigh it out against the evidence and we can find reasonable answers. And it's important that we do that. It's good news that we can do that, not because you get to be right, though some people really like to be right, but because this had to happen. This needed to happen for us to have any hope. It's good news that this happened in real flesh and blood history. It's not just a story. But so why don't we then talk about, though, the other kind of doubts that we meet in this text? The internal doubts. See, verse 16 says that the disciples and the 11 disciples and probably others with them as well went to Galilee, to the mountain that Jesus directed them to go. And in this moment of total triumph, when they saw their risen Lord on this mountain, Matthew 17, or verse 17 in chapter 28, it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. Yes, they worshiped him. And yet some of them doubted. Jesus was standing right there in front of them. What doubts could they still have? Why is that important? And even good news for you today, that Jesus met up with these folks who still had doubts. First of all, what sort of doubt are we talking about? Do you remember? You remember when Peter, when he stepped out of the boat to try to walk on water. Okay, do you remember that? That's actually the only other time this word for doubt is used in the whole Bible. Peter and the disciples had been working all night long trying to get a boat from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other. And in Matthew chapter 14, in verse 24, it says, the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. They were exhausted. They had been working all night. And then Jesus came out walking to them on the water. And when they realized that it was him, Peter said to him, starting in verse 28, if it is you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? It's the only other time this word is used. When Peter stepped out of that boat, he did step out in faith, but when he considered the wind and the waves that had beaten him and bested him all night, he faltered and he hesitated. At that moment, he was no longer believing that Jesus was more powerful than his life circumstance. This word for doubt, it probably is best understood not as the absence of faith, but as hesitation. When life circumstances compete with our faith and cause us to forget Jesus in that moment. So look, that helps us. That helps us, but that doesn't tell us in Matthew 28 why it is some doubted. See, we know from the other Gospels that by this point, Jesus had appeared to the disciples a bunch of times, usually surprise. Usually just appeared to them and talked to them. John tells us that 8 days after the resurrection, the disciple Thomas, he famously doubted. He would not believe that Jesus had risen until he saw it with his own eyes. And Jesus appeared to him 8 days after the resurrection. In Luke 24, on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, we hear that the disciples disbelieved for joy. They couldn't believe what their eyes were seeing. They were so happy. Maybe it's just that here in Matthew 28. Maybe their eyes and their ears were telling them that something joyous beyond their wildest dreams was happening. But something about the way that it's used when Jesus says that Peter doubted, and something about this context tells me it's probably something different. And based on what Jesus says to them, I think that some of the hesitation came simply because they knew they had all abandoned Jesus and even denied him in Peter's case. Maybe their hesitations were really doubts that Jesus would accept them and welcome them. See, if you've ever read the Gospel of John, the last chapter of John, chapter 21, tells this story of how Jesus restores Peter three times to match the three times that Peter denied Jesus. That almost certainly happened. That happened in Galilee, and that almost certainly happened after they met on this mountain in Matthew 28. The disciples had failed him. They had abandoned him. They had run away and even denied him. But what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He told them, he came to them and he spoke to them and he said a few different things. But he ends it with, "I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you always." Now, he could have just said, there are many ways he could have said that. He could have just said, "I'll be with you forever." But the way he actually says it is so much better than that. It's so much better. What he actually says is, "I am with you the whole of every day. I am with you all day, every day. I'm with you all day, every day until everything is complete and you are all safely and eternally in my presence in the new creation." That is what he says in verse 20. It is good news for you today that these disciples worshiped and also that they hesitated, maybe doubted. It's one commentator put it so well. He says that the resurrection did not instantly take them from being little faith. Jesus kept calling them, "You of little faith." The resurrection didn't take them from being little faith all of a sudden to being spiritual giants. And neither did you. That's good news. The good news is that it's not that they had little faith or that you have. The good news is that Jesus didn't leave them there in that little faith. And he doesn't leave you there either. Why does Matthew talk about doubt at the very end of this book, at the very end of this gospel? Because the disciples, they needed to know that when the circumstances of life came at them and threatened to overwhelm them, I mean, what is more overwhelming than someone coming back from the dead? In a good way, overwhelming. But when the circumstances of life came at them and they didn't know what to do with it, Jesus was there. "I am with you always, all day, every day," Jesus says. And that's good news for you, for the same reason it was good news for them. You need to know that the presence of Jesus is the only cure for your hesitation and your doubt. Are you overwhelmed today? Are you overwhelmed by fear or anxiety or anger? If you look back at the last week, can you recount a pattern of shifting the blame to other people or just pretending that you're doing fine on your own? Stiff upper lip, you know? Are you hesitating and in doubt that Jesus is with you and accepts you right now? Look, your response to your life circumstances are going to reveal where you're hesitating. It just is going to happen. Remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The writer of Hebrews says, the conviction of things not seen. Where is your conviction and your assurance level right now that Jesus is with you in this very moment? Where is your conviction? Jesus says, I am with you always, all day, every day, until the end. The cure for your doubt is in Him and in Him alone. You won't argue yourself out of it. You must come into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus, my friends, great news. Jesus is alive. All that really happened. All of it happened. And Jesus is with us all day, every day. That is a promise. That is a reality that you can not only depend on, but you can live by. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the way that you deal with our hesitations and our doubts. Lord, thank you for the way that you have removed the stain of sin from our lives. And for the promise that you will be with us until you raise us up to be like you. God, we thank you. This could only come from you. So Lord, open our eyes to the presence of Jesus that we would be filled with faith, filled with that assurance, filled with that conviction. And we would proclaim your mercies throughout the whole world. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now's the time in our worship when we have the opportunity to, when we would normally share our offering to God. And the Bible says that God made us to be a people who are conformed to the image of Christ. And He, Jesus, is generous beyond your wildest imaginations. That means that God is conforming us to being the image of generosity. And so as you consider that fact, I just want to thank you for all of you who are supporting the work of the kingdom here at the church and in your communities and are helping your neighbors and are generously giving of your time and your bodies and your finances. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. If you have not made a practice of being generous and giving, now is a good time to start. You can start right now. We have opportunities for you to give on our church website. You can go there right now and you can give. You can also mail a check to the church if you'd like and participate in what God's doing in this neighborhood and through this community of faith. And if you need some help getting set up with that, we can help you. But don't just stop there. Look to the needs of your neighbor. Let God's generosity flow out from there to others who are hurting and in need of help right now. I want to, as we close, we're gonna worship through some music one more time. But I do want to just remind you, we are actively pursuing what it means to be the church in a time like this. We're actively pursuing community. We're actively pursuing prayer groups to encourage and to comfort and to lift each other up. We're pursuing these things through small groups. And if you are not a part of a small group, please get in touch with me if you've ever even had a thought of doing that. We have them Sunday through Wednesday. We thank you for everyone who's participating in that right now. But now's the time, if you haven't been a part of it, join a small group right now. Engage with those people that God has laid on your heart who do not know Jesus. Engage with them. Pray for them. Let your heart be broken anew for them. And I also want to just throw this out, that some of you in this time of social distancing are feeling the weight of a desire to want to go deeper in your discipleship. And I want to help you with that. We want to help you with that. We want to help you learn and be able to speak to and live out the fact that Jesus is the hero of your story. And if you would like to engage in that with some one-to-one help, please email me. We'd love to, or text me. We'd love to help with that. And as always, if you need prayer, just let us know. We'll pray for you all the time. And we already do. As we close, I want you to listen to the words of this song. Some of us are dealing with some very difficult circumstances, but it is in the presence of our Lord Jesus that we find wholeness and healing and hope. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, my friends. We love you.